All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the 26th day of October, 2021. I do like to remind you that I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. ChenPicks.com for Chen Lin's excellent letter that focuses a lot on the biotechs and the mining share exploration companies primarily. And go to ChenPicks.com to subscribe to what is Chen buying, what is Chen selling. And we have Michael Oliver with us today. And when he's with us, we like to remind you that it's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com. Check out Michael's work and subscribe. I think you'll be pleased that you do. I'm certainly pleased to receive his letters every week. Very, very helpful to me. I want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. I'd like to encourage you to send along whatever comments you might have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. I want to thank our sponsors for this show. Today's sponsors, Noble Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp., Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp., and Firefox Gold. Before I get started today with today's show, I should mention that I will be attending and speaking at the Metals Investor Forum in Vancouver. That's on November 12th and 13th. And you can sign up for that event to attend either in person or to watch it online by going to the Metals and just go to metalsinvestorforum.com, metalsinvestorforum.com. You just need to click sign up with your name and email address, and you'll have access either in person or online. And that will be at the Hyatt. It's at the Marriott. It's in Vancouver, the Marriott. It's one of the Marriott hotels in Vancouver. I've titled today's show, How Will a Bankrupt America Fund Socialism? Alistair MacLeod, Patrick Highsmith, and Michael Oliver are with us today. The U.S. has three categories of buyers for U.S. debt: the financial and non-financial private sector, foreigners, and the Federal Reserve Bank. The banks in the financial sector have limited capacity to expand bank credit, and American consumers are being encouraged to spend, not to save. Except for a few governments, foreigners are already reducing their proportion of outstanding federal debt, and there is every reason to believe that trend will likely accelerate as they suffer losses from plunging bond prices in an inflation-driven rising yield environment. With that, dollar hegemony will be threatened as the Fed is the only one left to fund the deficit, and they will be printing more and more faster and faster to achieve that. So the dollar could be in real jeopardy. At least those are the views of Alistair MacLeod. The Fed has, though, of course, now they're talking a lot about committing to tightening credit by reducing its purchases of debt. The propaganda, of course, is intended to blind as many Americans as possible to the fact that the real underlying cause of the most serious inflation threat in America since the 1970s is the enormous amount of money being created out of thin air by the Fed. To make matters worse, there is a dramatic slowdown in the economic growth right now in America. The Atlanta Fed, for example, is projecting a GDP growth of a mere 0.4% this quarter, and that's down from something like 6% or so earlier in the year. So the entire idea that the Fed can taper at a time like this would be laughable if it were not so serious. As Daniel DiMartino Booth said last week in an interview with Adam Taggart, and I quote, she said, "The Fed can't afford to taper because the economy is slowing. but the Fed can't afford not to taper because of rising inflation. Well, whatever it does, the Fed, it seems, is destined to fail. And I think probably Alistair McLeod will agree with that. So the Fed is now being faced with two very bad alternatives. And the one is keep the asset prices rising. Stock prices, everybody seems to be happy with that. And risk the potential of a dollar collapse, or turn around and put an end to this massive money printing and watch the economy go off the cliff and all these asset prices with it to save the dollar. Well, I have my views on which direction the Fed will head, and I suppose you all do too, but we'll hear what Alistair has to say in the second half of today's show about these topics. Just in a couple of minutes from now, Patrick Highsmith, chairman of Firefox Gold, will be with me to give us an update on that company's excellent results. They've really been coming into some very high-grade assay gold assays in Finland and their project there, and Patrick will be with me right after the first commercial break. But right now, Michael Oliver is with me once again to share his thoughts on the markets. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay.
You know, it seems like the Fed is between a rock and a hard place here. It really does. What are your thoughts now? Which way are things heading in your view? What are you seeing in the stock market, some of these other markets?
We think they're pivotal. I think the stock market is topping. It's been a process of several months now. We've had some downside in the stock market that broke certain structures that said, okay, you got a broken ankle, broken knee bone, mm-hmm. okay? Not backbone yet. There are some backbone structures that aren't far below in terms of percent drop. About 3 or 4% below the market, you start to break some pretty big stuff. So in other words, this rally we're seeing now, which over the last like 10 market days has had incredible up, 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 up every day. Nothing explosive, just continual up. S&P made new highs. NASDAQ is back at its high, NASDAQ 100. And so, everybody's cheering. But momentum is saying, you're up against resistance now. And then by certain of our metrics, frankly, in the area we are right now on the S&P, it wouldn't surprise me to see, within 20, 30 points of where we are, that it starts to stall, and it can't afford to. If it does, mm-hmm. it starts to back off even a percent or so, I think it could start to drop down toward the real danger areas. And what's a danger area? For the S&P 500, looking out to, let's say, the end of November, instead of assuming anything breaks now, down around 4,400. Now, we're 4,550 to 4,600 zone right now, so we're 150 points. Well, that's like 3 or so percent, so it's not a big deal.
Right.
You can't afford to roll back over toward that 4,400 level. Mm-hmm. I think you'll start breaking stuff. And all of a sudden at that point, I think people will become aware of, hey, this is not what we thought. There's two other markets we're watching, though, that have moved with the S&P 500, and they're debt markets. One is the muni bonds, and we watch MUB, which is an ETF of the muni bond market. And the junk corporate bonds, or the high-yield corporate bonds, there's a couple of ETFs there, JNK and HYG. The Fed actually, back in March through May of last year, after the low and on the way back up, started to buy these markets outright. In the case of muni bonds, they bought individual localities and state debt instruments outright. And in the case of the corporate junk market, debt market, they also bought the ETFs. It was on their balance sheet. They owned HYG, the ETF. Now, the problem was that these markets moved up with the S&P, and they looked sort of like the S&P's recovery from that March low. In other words, a sharp rebound.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But they divorced themselves several months ago. Well, the S&P has continued up. These markets, the muni bond ETF and the corporate debt ETFs, stopped going up and started to move down in layers. Nothing drastic yet. However, we've established some numbers below both the muni bond ETF and the junk bond ETFs, corporate bonds, not far below the lows we've seen this week, that if triggered, indicate to us that they're going to roll over. Now, mm-hmm. the Fed has ceased buying these things and is now actually selling some of them. Over the last month or two, and sure enough, as soon as they stopped buying and started selling, it went down. These markets mm-hmm. did. They divorced themselves from the S&P. Well, from the Fed's vantage point, those markets are critical. Mm-hmm. They can't have a problem with the municipalities not being able to afford their budgets and corporate bonds suddenly going oomph. And I think you've got to watch those markets now, because I think if they roll over, and it won't take more than a hiccup for them to do that via our metrics, that they'll begin to drag the S&P down and also begin to change at least the internal discussions at the Fed about whether we should taper or not, or can we find some data points that we can make excuses that we don't taper,
mm-hmm.
you know, such as the unemployment doesn't get really better. Like last month was not perceived as being very good. I think the Fed, if you start to see the muni bonds and the junk bonds start to roll over, watch them, because I think that could be pivotal in terms of causing the Fed to at least internally choke a bit mm-hmm. on their so-called taper policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because those assets are too vulnerable, too important to them, even though they're not the kind of metrics that we watch. You know, once a month there's the unemployment, once a month there's this, that, and the other. These are important markets, and they look vulnerable to us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the municipal bond markets start to have problems, or these junk markets. But, I mean, this explains then why. You know, for the longest time, I always expected you to have these higher risk markets. We should be ticking up when the interest rates should be heading higher as the economy got weaker, or with all the problems we had during the pandemic and all. But, no, they step in and they really disguise the price discovery of these markets, just like they do in the gold.
When they bought, I mean, they just went vertical. You know,
yeah,
so the Fed
crazy.
Was a big buyer, and when they ceased to buy, they didn't go up anymore.
Yeah, they're manipulating the markets, not allowing price discovery, and I believe they do that in the gold markets too. With I don't know if it's the Fed or if it's the major bullion banks. I know there's certainly a lot of people that believe the bullion banks go in and they slam the market down real hard from time to time. Ultimately, gold is going to go where it's going to go. All these markets have to. I mean, the rules of nature can't be changed by governments. I believe, Michael, you and I are on the same page on that. But just a quick word yet. How do you see the gold markets now with just about a minute or two left?
Gold and silver is poised right below key levels that, if they engage them, it ends the debate.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this congestion zone we've been in for 16, now entering 16 months of up, down in gold, more down than you know, zigzag down, but we're now in the middle of that range,
mm-hmm.
either side of 1800. 1825 is a key number for us. You close mm-hmm. a week out on the front month gold at 1825 or higher any week during this quarter, and we think that is the positive signal from gold that says, okay, I'm coming out of congestion. And for silver, we got the 2490, the high in this rally that we just saw. Right now we're in low 24s. In the low 25s, it does the same thing. So
uh-huh.
there's some numbers about a percent or so above the recent high that say, okay, we're through. We're going up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't surprise me to see that happen with the S&P start to wobble at that point.
Well, we'll have to keep our eyes on that, then, those key numbers, Michael. And I know you provide that information on an ongoing basis to your subscribers. Also, we want to watch MUB. That's for the municipal markets, the municipal bond markets. And then there's JNK, I believe you said, and HYG for the junk markets. So those markets are very key, then, and you've explained very nicely why that could be the case and why they're so important. I mean, if those markets start to spike up in rates, then the stock market starts to get some competition, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's synchronicity there between the trend of those two markets and the S&P, and right now those two markets are trying mm-hmm. to roll over, despite mm-hmm. what the S&P is trying to say the other way. And I suspect if they roll over, they will win.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Fascinating stuff, Michael. Thank you so much for being with us once again. Always a pleasure to have you. I know our listeners love to hear what you have to say, so thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, folks, well, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Patrick Highsmith will be with me to talk about Firefox Gold. They're making some really interesting discoveries over there, some great assays. They've reported recently on one project, but they have many different projects that they're working on in a new greenstone belt where, well, actually, quite frankly, there is a new gold rush going on in this part of Finland. So don't go away. Well, to learn more about that, Patrick Highsmith will be with me right after the break.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.